Welcome to Call Forder Connect, the podcast where a call can make all the difference in someone's life. I'm Kim Clyden, and each week we'll explore something beautifully simple but profoundly powerful, picking up the phone and calling four or more people. Four real conversations, four chances to remind someone they matter. This movement was created by Charles and Tracy Alder, who've spent decades supporting Australians through fire, flood, drought, and just as devastating, silence. Because loneliness isn't just a feeling. It's a quiet crisis, chipping away at our mental health, fueling anxiety and depression, making people feel like they don't belong. Left unchecked, it can become life-threatening. Together, we can break the cycle of isolation, remind our friends and loved ones they're seen, valued, and never alone. In each episode, we'll hear stories from people making connection a habit. Community leaders, everyday Aussies, and voices from around the world who are proving that something small can have a massive impact. So let's get into it, because the world doesn't need more noise. It needs more human connection. Older Australians are among the most at risk of loneliness, particularly in aged care, where loss of independence, limited contact with family, and fear of being a burden can make isolation even more profound. My guest today, Raylee Huggett, has seen this reality up close. With a background in journalism, corporate communications, and media management, she spent years working with families, navigating the challenges of aged care living. Her professional experience is deeply personal too. Raylee's mother and mother-in-law both entered aged care, giving her insight into the stark differences between facilities and the constant threat of loneliness. Raylee has a passion for stories and a belief that the later years of life should remain rich with purpose, dignity, and vitally connection. Welcome, Raylee. How do stories serve you in relation to purpose and connection in your own life?
I'm a mum, and I've also got grandchildren, and recently I became a great-grandmother. And my grandchildren, I actually bought them a book with a little sailor doll. And after my brother passed away, I said to my children, I don't want us to lose his story, because he had an absolutely fascinating story. He was a commander in the Navy. He traveled throughout the world and he did many things. And before he passed away, he had retired from the Navy and started a medical degree. And he was going to work with the Indigenous communities in the Northern Territory. And I said to my grandchildren, I don't want you to lose that story, my brother's story. So whenever we saw each other, I gave them this doll, which was a little Navy doll. And I said to them, if you want to know more about Uncle Mark, I said, bring the doll to me and I'll tell you stories. And that's how they got to know their great uncle. So that was one of the ones, but people's stories are absolutely fascinating. They really are. You look at someone, you think, and you see someone in the street, you see someone in aged care, many people would just say hello and just pass them by. I look at someone and I think, what's your story? What's your background? And I'll actually sit down with people in the aged care facility and have a chat to them. Some of them have got dementia, but that doesn't matter. You know, their stories are just so interesting. Many years ago, my friend worked in aged care, and this was my first experience walking into an aged care facility. She said to me one Christmas, she said, I know you've already had pre-Christmas with your family. She said, but what are you doing Christmas Day? And I said, nothing. She said, I'm working Christmas Day in the dementia unit. She said, come over. She said, I'll get permission. Come over. And she said, have lunch with me and the residents. And I said, yeah, okay, I did that. I sat down with these fascinating people. One of the gentlemen there was an architect. And even though he wasn't verbally capable of telling me anything, he had these magazines. And through the magazines and showing me pictures of buildings, I was able to establish that he was an architect, and he was pointing out the buildings that he had designed around Brisbane. Another gentleman I was sitting with was a bank manager, and he was able to tell me the stories of what he did as a bank manager and his family. He was never married, but he had nieces and nephews, all that sort of thing. And there were others there too, who came over and had a little bit of a chat to me and then went away and then came back and had a little bit more of a chat. And it was just fascinating understanding that these people who were here at this time of their life had so much more before them, you know, before this time that they were just seen as someone with dementia. They had this amazing story behind them.
Having had experience both with my grandparents in aged care and more recently my husband's mum or my mother-in-law in her aged care facility, I've noticed a lot of disparity between the programs they run and the way some of the aged care facilities are. Aged care or even just ageing can be quite isolating, and older people are overrepresented in the loneliness statistics around the world. What have you heard from these people in aged care about how connected or disconnected they actually are?
A lot of the information that I've received, especially with my mother-in-law and the aged care facility, she's actually been in two. She was initially on the Gold Coast, and then when we moved to Toowoomba, we asked her after COVID, because that was a horrendous period for people in aged care, we said to her, would you like to come up to Toowoomba? And we did tours around different places in Toowoomba, picked one, and then we did a virtual tour with her because she had a stroke, so she's in a wheelchair. It was difficult for her to actually come up, have a look at the place. So we did the virtual tour for her. She loved the look of it, and she loved the fact that she would be close to us and we would be able to just go and visit her, which is what I'll be doing this afternoon. I'll be going over to see her. But one of the big things is the loneliness side of aged care is prevalent. It really is. Her experience was she went out shopping one day, normal thing, drove a car to the shopping centre, never came home. She had a stroke while she was out, ended up in hospital, then ended up in rehabilitation, and they told her and my husband that she would not be able to go back home. So she went straight into aged care. We had to sell her home, which was a lovely two-bedroom unit on the Gold Coast that she adored, and it was her home with her husband for over 20 years. My father-in-law had passed away the year before. It was just such a negative experience for her, because one minute she had this full life. She was very active within her church. She was very active knowing people within her community, within her unit block, the whole lot. And next thing you know, she was in this aged care facility and her mobility was gone. Luckily, she was still able to speak. That did not affect her. The stroke did not affect that side of things. But her mobility was gone. So she just lost that. And it was very cut and dry, very hard for her. With my mother, it was a different process, a far more gentler process. She had cancer, and she lived in a remote community north of Townsville on the beach, had been there for over 40 years. And my father had died a couple of years beforehand. He had cancer as well. And she was backwards and forwards to hospital and her specialist. And after she had a really, really bad fall and could no longer drive, her specialist said to her, Betty, I can't let you go home because it's too dangerous. And he was amazing. He said to her, I will not put you into a place, into an aged care facility, unless it's something that I would allow my mum to go into. Now, my mother was brought up from the age of 5 to 13. She was in a children's home in Melbourne, and she just was adamant before this time she was never, ever going to go into any of these so-called aged care institutions because that's how she viewed it. But because of her specialist, and the empathy that he had for her, she willingly went into aged care and loved it to the point where three of her friends within 6 months had also moved into the same facility. And it was a completely different experience for her. She was there for 18 months before she passed away, but she really loved it there and enjoyed the community within the aged care facility. And that's where a lot of places in aged care lack. It's a sense of community. And also, one of the other things that I noticed with where my mother was and my mother-in-law is now and was previously, the design of the actual floors that they're on was not conducive, for one, for socialisation. Where my mother was, it was, her area was shaped like a crescent moon, so all their rooms faced out into the lounge, and further from that was the dining area. So everyone was always out there milling around or in their rooms. People were walking past saying hello all the time. Whereas my mother-in-law's, they're corridors, which is almost like a hospital. And people actually have to go out of their way to walk down these corridors and then come back again. So it's the socialisation side of things, the design side, it needs to be looked at when aged care homes are actually developed. Yeah.
With so many options as to how we communicate now with digital devices, how have you been able to maintain connection? Because, you know, there is a bit of a gap there with some of our generations and technology.
My mother, she loved technology. She had her phone, she had her laptop, she had everything going. She, at one stage when she was in her early 60s, she was actually the secretary of the Apple Mac Club in Townsville. So she just embraced it, and she would shop online. She always had parcels coming into the aged care facility, and if she wasn't sure what she was doing, she would ask someone. And she had a group of friends who were, they were like these little tech wizards in aged care. And we would also keep in contact with her through FaceTime on her phone or on her laptop or just calling her. But my mother-in-law did not embrace the technology that, like my mother did. And my mother was actually older than her as well. So my mother-in-law became, other than the phone, she became isolated in that respect. She has used FaceTime in the past. She was using the phone quite a bit, but even now, as she's declining, she is finding that hard to use as well. And that's where I think new technology is going to be an absolute boon, especially for, because I'm in my 60s. So down the track, it's going to be an absolute necessity for people as they age, because you're going to have, you've got devices like Siri, and there's other devices out there too where you can actually talk to it. There's going to be chatbots, AI chatbots, a whole lot that you can actually set up in such a way that you're having a conversation with this chatbot, who, and you can develop the voice that you want as well that they use. It could be, I know it sounds really weird, but it could be her husband's voice, it could be a friend's voice, or just a really pleasant voice. Now, my mother has, as I said, my mother-in-law was an absolute pillar within her church, and she's been fellowshipping with the same church for over 60 years. So she doesn't have those conversations anymore. She doesn't sit down and talk to people as much anymore about, you know, the Bible and talk about the stories in the Bible and how it reflects everyday life today. We get over there when we can and talk to her about it because we are part of the same fellowship. But for her to have a chatbot to actually sit down and discuss all these things with her would be just incredible. But as I said, she is not tech savvy, but that is something that I said to my husband, you know, down the track, this is something for our age group that we can actually look at. But there's people over 65 nowadays, there's only around 4% of people in aged care who are over 65, that's 65 and above. If you're looking at 80 and above, that's a lot higher. I have this lovely neighbour who lives across the road. He lives at home alone. Unfortunately, his wife passed away a couple of years ago. He's 97. He handed in his licence last year because he said he was losing his confidence. But he's always out and about in his garden and things like that. So not everyone goes to aged care. It It is more prevalent as they get older, as you get older, but not everyone does.
No, but I think that even in your neighbour's circumstances, they can become disconnected. So what sort of points of connection does your neighbour have that keeps him happy and healthy and outdoors?
He has his family who come over quite a bit. As his neighbours, we check in on him from time to time. But he's also and he told us quite when we got to know him when we first moved into the area, he said he's not a social person. He likes his own company and we respect that. But we also keep an eye on him. If I haven't seen him out in the garden for a couple of days, I'll go and knock on the door to find out if he's okay. If there's nothing there, if I don't hear anything, then I've got his family members' contact details. I'll contact them and they'll let me know what's going on. And if for any reason that they haven't heard from him, then we contact police or whoever we need to contact to make sure he's okay. But he's also trusted a couple of the neighbours. We're one of them, with his allowing us to go into his home. So he's given us the codes and everything like that to go and check on him as well if we haven't heard from him. So these are the things that we need to do within our own neighbourhood as well.
One thing that stood out to me in the last few minutes when we were talking about technology and then bridging that gap to your neighbour who's 97, my watch tells people if I've fallen. We have the technology. I think it's really a matter of implementing it in these situations where you have concerns about people in your life. Why aren't we utilising the technology that already exists more, particularly in aged care and in instances where people are living alone? I mean, they have robots now, right? So it's a very basic robot with a screen face where you can do the virtual stuff. They don't have to do anything. You know, like nobody has to control technology. So do you see a future where that type of technology can be implemented to bridge these divides?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's happening around the world now. So in countries like Japan, and when you're looking at South Korea, all those absolutely tech savvy and embracing countries, they utilize that now. So yes, I can see that in our future. I can see that as part of our way of continuing to connect with the outside world. An interesting thing is that people still want the connectivity person to person. And unfortunately, because aged care is such a busy place and it's a very regimented place as well, and people are coming in from a place of where they're making their own decisions, doing their own thing, and then all of a sudden they've decided, or for various reasons, that they need to be in aged care, whether it's their decision or the decision of family or medical. And then they're no longer making a lot of their own decisions. So it's to do with, you know, when you have your dinner, your medication. My mother-in-law wanted to take vitamins. She wasn't allowed to take vitamins until her doctor said it was okay. And I said, well, hang on a minute. She hasn't got dementia. She's able to make her own decisions. We went through all that process when she wrote her will to make sure that she was mentally fit to be able to do that. I said, she can still make her own decisions. But they said, no, she can't take any of that unless she talks to the doctor and they okay all of that. And I thought, okay, so, and I actually checked to see if any of the vitamins, which one of them was a multivitamin, would impact her medication. And it said it wouldn't. So, and it's these things that are taken away. It is very hard for them.
As someone who's experienced having to arrange care for a family member, can you point to any one source or direct people if they are feeling alone in this situation as to where they can go? I had difficulty finding one source of information that would really list what I needed to do to enact a plan.
The first place we went to were the medical side of things. We asked the doctors, their doctors, and especially when my mother was in hospital, my husband actually had to go through the process there, and it was through the medical side of things there that they actually pointed him in the direction to go. But there isn't really. Unless you start going through this, it is really hard. There's nothing out there where you can actually go to one source unless you get a consultant. There are consultants in this area who will help you go through the aged care process. Costs money. But sometimes when you've got two people working and you've got someone who needs to go into care, you don't have the time. So you're better off paying someone to assist you around that track. You go in and interview with them. You find out from, they talk to you about what your requirements are, not just you as the person, as the family member, but particularly the person going into care. As the person going into care, you also need to let your family know what you want as well. So you could have a letter of wishes or something like that put together so they know what your expectations are with regard to your care in later life, and that could be aged care. So that's a really good starting point, is to have that conversation with that family member. Now, if they've got dementia, that can be quite hard. But if they don't, that's a process that can be done with empathy. And also the other thing too is with the person who is looking after the process, if you pay someone to look after the process, they've already got those connections. You don't have to go through that minefield. And I know it's hard for people who don't have the money to do that, but start with your medical practitioner and talk to your Department of Aging. But if you've got the money to actually go through someone to assist you, especially if it's in your area and that person's going to be going to care in your area, then that is probably a good option as well. My daughter and her husband both work. They've got two children still at school. So for them, this was an absolute must for them to do, to find someone who could assist with that process. With my husband, he had to do that. My mother was, my father was a returned serviceman, so she was lucky enough to go through the RSL side of things, and they assisted there, plus her specialist as well. And he was the one who pointed her in that direction too. So she received a lot of support through the RSL because of their background. My mother was also in the army when she met my father, but my father was a returned serviceman. So there's various ways that it can be done. It's just a matter of sitting down, don't panic, and just first of all, talk to your medical practitioner, because this is a process where they need to know what's going on as well. And also talk to some of the aged care facilities in your area, because they will have that information in their packs to let you know what you need to do.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Call for to Connect. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and hearing some of that sage advice. Take care.
Thank you very much.
The enigmatic Raylee Huggett, exploring what it means not just to age, but to belong. Reflecting on the lives of aged care residents, the role of technology and volunteering, and how generational closeness is shifting as families juggle the demands of modern life. There are many sources of connection for you if you find yourself in this position. To get involved in this movement, go to callfor.org and sign up to set up your call list. You'll receive reminders to call those you care about and help them feel connected and valued. Until next week, call for to connect.